Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Power Is Now. My name is Eric Frazier. Thank you for joining me today. This is a special edition of The Power Is Now called The Power Is Now News Update. The views and opinions expressed on this show are my own and do not necessarily reflect my employer or any organization that I'm affiliated with. They are my own. Thank you again for joining me today. Please go to thepowersnow.com and subscribe to our magazine and just connect with us in every way socially. We are trying our very best to bring great information about housing and about the opportunities to purchase real estate or to refinance real estate. But we're also talking about other things that are important to our community and to society as a whole. George Floyd has been in the news since his death, and murder by Derek Chauvin, Minnesota police officer. And I don't know if you have seen the video, hopefully you have, but you can't help but be impacted. I have not, in my short 58 years of life on this earth, witnessed a life leaving a body under the hands of another man. It's such a tragic and senseless murder. And as of the time of this video, the three officers who were involved in this murder have still not been arrested. Derek Chauvin has only been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. And so the public is in an uproar, and we have been witnessing all kinds of protesting, not just happening in Minnesota, but now in every state of the union and even internationally. Change is coming to America, and it's time for change. We are living in unprecedented times. I don't know of a time in our history where we have seen such diversity in the crowds of protesters who are marching about the death, the senseless murder of George Floyd. My heart is warmed to see such diversity of white and black and brown and Asian come out and to protest against this senseless and just devastating murder. My heart goes out to the Floyd family and to the people of Minnesota who have to endure such a tragic event. And to all of us who are suffering either emotionally, psychologically, or even in our businesses because they've been impacted by the protests and the violence and the damage. What upsets me the most is the very poor media coverage. They're so concerned about the damage of property and the violence, and they have lost complete sight of why this is all taking place and where the violence began. It began with Officer Derek Chauvin keeping his knee on a man who has been completely submissive, handcuffed on his stomach, head turned to his left or right, pleading for his life, telling him predicting his own death, crying for his dead mother. And this officer continued, not only after his body limped, but continued to apply pressure to his neck 3 minutes after his body had gone limp. I have never witnessed such callous indifference, such evil before. If there's ever a time for America to be in an uproar, if there's ever a time for there to be violence and property damage and even death, I can't think of another time. They have crossed a new line. There is no excuse for not only Derek Chauvin to kill this man in this way, but there's no excuse for the officers to stand by and watch it happen. There is no excuse for the police department in Minnesota to create an environment where like something like this could even happen. It's not okay. How many black men have to die before change comes to America? Hey folks, this is a news update. Just right now, while recording this video, I got news that Senator Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat from Minnesota, posted on her Twitter that the three other police officers are going to be criminally charged. In addition to that, Derek Chauvin, his charges are going to be moved up to second degree murder. That is really good news. And so more of this will be coming out. Finally, she said that the state attorney general, Keith Ellison, is going to be filing charges as well, which needs to happen. So that's a quick update. Back to my news update. I want to take a moment here and keep the attention not on the property damage, because buildings can be rebuilt, not on the monuments that have been destroyed, because monuments can be restored, not on the actors out there, whoever they might be, trying to draw attention away from the real issue here. There may, in fact, be a subgroup of people who want to change the narrative. These people could be the very people who are in power that can make the difference right now. I mean, the very fact that the other three officers have not been arrested is really evidence of that. That they want to change the story to violence and law and order and not on police reform. They want to change the story to a property damage and the millions of dollars of overtime that police officers are going to have to spend and the millions of dollars in property damage, and not on how a police officer could arrest a man who is not resisting arrest, subdue that man, handcuff that man, lay him on the ground, apply his knee with all of his weight to his carotid artery in his neck, watch him pass out, die, and continue to apply that pressure for three additional minutes. How does that happen? How do officers stand by and allow that to happen? No wonder people are upset. No wonder we are marching. No wonder young people are being violent, because that's the only way they can express themselves. Not just young, but old, not just black, but white. Everybody is upset. There has not been a single day that has passed by that I have not cried over this issue. There's not been one single passion speech by a black leader that has not moved me to tears. I am disgusted, and I'm afraid for my children and for my grandchildren. I'm afraid even for my own life. What bothers me the most about this is the environment. You know, one of the things I love doing is I love going to aquariums. There's one incredible aquarium in Long Beach, and it's just amazing to see, you know, life under the sea. And then I have friends who have aquariums, and you know, it's a very expensive hobby to keep fish. And then you got to know what you're doing, because you have to maintain the right environment and for the fish to survive. If you have freshwater fish, they need fresh water. They need the right type of food in order for them to survive. If you have saltwater fish, they need salt water, and you need the right type of food and environment. And in fact, certain fish can play with other fish. You know, certain fish will eat other fish. And so you have to know the types of fish you can have in your aquarium. And my point is that in order to have a thriving and beautiful aquarium, you've got to understand the environment. You got to create the right environment. This brutal killing that took place in Minnesota at the hands of a police officer, unfortunately, this is not the first time that a black man unarmed has been killed by the police. This is not the second time. This is not the third time. This is not the fourth time or the fifth time. There are hundreds of times that this has happened that has now been captured by video. And thank God for technology. Thank God for phones and video and live streaming. Thank God for it, because I can only imagine what heaven knows. the angels that God has placed around all of us to protect us, I can only imagine what they have witnessed. The thousands of Black men who have been killed in dark alleys and woods and the forest and the desert, who have been driven to places unknown and taken out by the police. And you would think, why can't I say, how can you say something like that, Eric? The truth of the matter is, it's the environment. When you create an environment that allows police officers to do something like this, not just once or twice or three or four times, but when you allow an environment to be created, or you create that environment where police officers can take innocent life, where they can just take life, not do their duty to protect and serve, but just to take life, that's on those who are in charge. That's of the owners. That's of the stakeholders. Those are the leaders of the police department, the police chief, the mayor, the governor, the police commission. They are responsible for the violence that has taken place by police officers everywhere. And you have to think about, this could not happen. The analogy of fish being unable to thrive and survive in the wrong environment. Well, this is the environment that has been created here in the United States, where there are police departments across this country that have this environment in which there are officers who believe that they are okay to commit these kind of offenses. It's okay for them to be rude. It's okay to beat a man half to death. You know, the last time we saw something close to this was Rodney King. Rodney King, who can forget the horror? We witnessed these LA police officers just beat this man to death, and yet he did not die. Well, in the case of George Floyd, he died. And his death and his blood is on the police chief. It's on the lieutenants and the captains. It's on the trainers. It's on the mayor. It's on the police commission. It's on the governor. It's on everybody involved in policing. George Floyd's blood is on their hands. They create the environment to allow something like this to happen. They are the only ones that can be responsible because they are in charge. Anytime, you know, something is not going right in any organization, it could be a sports organization, a football team, a baseball team, it could be a business, it could be a bank, it could be anything, any organization in which there is a leader and they're not achieving the objectives that they should be achieving. They're not achieving the goals that they should be achieving. Typically what happens is that the manager gets fired. That's what happened, because they look to the manager of the organization to set the right tone and to set the right environment, to build the right culture in order for the goals, whatever they might be, to be achieved. The police chief in Minnesota, you know, I love his interview that he did on CNN, where he said the other cops are complicit. He's absolutely right. They are complicit. And I'm glad that he had the courage to fire all of them. I'm glad the mayor had the courage to fire all of them. But unfortunately, that is just a Band-Aid on the situation, and that we have to look much deeper at this. We have to look at the operations. We have to look at the environment. We have to look at the training. We have to look at the psychological testing. We have to look and see, how is it possible for a person like Derek Chauvin to even work at the police department? How is it possible for men who have multiple complaints against them for abuse against our citizens to still be employed with the police department? I love the fact that he is a Black chief, but he needs to go. And everybody in his management team. I love the fact that the young mayor in Minnesota is so passionate, and he called for the termination of the officers, and he acted swiftly. And I love what he said about the police station. You know, police stations can burn, they can be rebuilt. Buildings can be reburned, can burn down, they can be rebuilt. But I'm not willing to put human life at risk to save a building. I love that about this young mayor. At least his value systems seem to be, his values seem to be in line. But here's what I don't like. I don't like the fact that he is just now getting active about police violence. I don't like the fact that just now, because of Floyd's death, is there any attention being brought to training and to all the issues that exist in the police department? So why are people marching here? People are not marching today just because of George Floyd's death. They're marching because of all the deaths of young men, African-American unarmed men, that are being senselessly murdered by police, and it has to stop now. I'm sick of the media. I love CNN. I love watching CNN. I love Don Lemon and all the crew there, man. But to spend all day long talking about protesters and videotaping buildings burning and running after people who are looting, that is absolutely ridiculous. Get on the same page as those of the, for every one person that's burning a building, for every one person that is looting, there are thousands of people who are not. Thousands. This thing has gotten really big, and I'm so happy. I can hardly work thinking about it and watching the coverage and just observing everything. This is a moment in history that we will never forget. The death and the sinister evil nature of George Floyd's death is a stain on America. It is a stain on our psyche. We will never ever forget what this police officer did to George Floyd and his family. Every state in the United States is protesting right now, folks. Countries are protesting against police violence. We need reforms, criminal justice reform. We need representation. We need more Black and brown police officers. We need more Black and brown police chiefs. We need more Black mayors and city councilmen. We need more diversity. I love the fact that white people are coming out. Where were they? Were the other thousands of hundreds of murders that have taken place? We're happy you're here, but where were you before? Why now is Black Lives Matter? You know, people are understanding what that really means. You know, when it first came out, now, you know, all lives matter, blue lives matter. Give me a break. Black Lives Matter means just what it says. The unnecessary brutality and killing of Black men has to stop. That's why Black Lives Matter. Because right now, if you're a Black man and you get pulled over by the police, your life very well may not matter. You know, try living with that. Right now, if I get in my car and I have to go someplace late at night, I'm literally get pulled over by the police, I am afraid for my life. And you might think because I might be sitting in a car, suited and booted, you know, I got my gray hair, beard, got glasses on, I'm looking like a professional, that might make a difference. Well, it hasn't made a difference. It hasn't made a difference. What makes the difference between my life and my death is the color of my skin and whether or not I pulled the lucky number of being pulled over by a psychotic killer who happens to be a cop. And that's my life. And that's the life of every Black man who is driving in anywhere, particularly in the South, but in the United States. I want to take a moment here, and I want to keep the attention on what's going on, what happened. Why are we protesting? Let us not forget why we are protesting. And I want to say to my white friends who are lovingly meaningful, they're concerned, who are calling me, asking me what I think and how I feel, You know, let me tell you, the first thing, if you're going to call me and have this discussion, the last thing I want to hear from anybody, the last thing I want to hear anybody say to me is that, oh my God, they're burning down the city. Oh my God, they're destroying monuments. Oh my God, there's so much violence. That is not where you start the conversation with me. The birth of this nation was born out of violence, beginning with the Boston Tea Party. African Americans have always been the victims of violence. The violence that we see right now occurring on television is because of the first violent act of Derek Chauvin killing a man for no reason at all. That is the violence that needs to stop. And so now we want to focus on burning buildings and monuments being turned over and the thousands of dollars of overtime being paid to firemen and police officers trying to keep the crowds under control and young people running and looting stores and taking advantage of the situation. Please give me a break. That is not a conversation you want to have with me. America is going to burn to the ground until there is reform. And George Floyd's death was the tipping point. The crowds are getting bigger and the protest is getting longer and we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't even gotten to the man's funeral and death. More and more people are gonna get involved with this and there'll be more and more protesters. And yes, those who are taking advantage of the situation, they are being addressed by the protesters themselves. They're being silenced. They're not going to be allowed to change the narrative because that's what those in power want them to do. They want to talk about getting things under control. They want to talk about law and order. They want to talk about, you know, peace when law and order and peace has not come to America yet, especially not to Black America when it comes to criminal justice reform. Peaceful movements have never worked. And there will always be martyrs who will die for the cause. Every movement from the civil rights movement to today has resulted in the assassination of a leader or the destruction of property. Every single movement in this country, nothing has changed, folks. Nothing has changed. This is how it works. The only way to get those in power, those with the ability to move legislation, the only way to get even those of us, the public, the general public, to fully understand what's going on and to be moved to action is through the destruction of property, it is through violence, it is through death. This is the only thing that has worked. I mean, we wouldn't have the 1964 Civil Rights Act if it wasn't for the death of Martin Luther King. And the pressure put on Lyndon B. Johnson, we wouldn't have all the freedoms we enjoy right now in this country if it wasn't for the brutality, the violence, the death of those fighting against us, moving Congress, moving those in power to finally take action because they can't stomach the violence. They can't stomach watching the treatment of dogs being sicked on us or beaten to death or murdered unarmed. People are just getting fed up and they cannot stomach it anymore. They cannot stand by silent anymore. They cannot be complicit because just like those three other officers are complicit, according to their own police chief, to the death of George Floyd, we are complicit by being silent and not speaking up about these issues and not participating in the democratic process of voting, not working with our legislators and staying on them to make the kind of changes that need to take place right here in America. Watch the video. And as you watch this video of George's death, I just want you to think about this for a moment. How do you create an environment where something like that is okay? Who is responsible ultimately for the death of George Floyd? Is it Derek Chauvin? Sure. He's responsible. He is the murderer. But so is his boss. So is all the three other cops that were standing around him. So is the police commission. So is the mayor. So is the governor. So is everybody involved in policing in Minnesota, and not just in Minnesota, but everywhere in America. The blood of George Floyd is on their hands. And we demand justice right now. Van Jones, attorney, political commentator on CNN, said it best. Nothing's going to change. If there is a time, if there's ever a time for change to take place, it is right now. Listen to Van Jones.
And Van, many activists today are saying that this one arrest is not enough. What changes now that this one officer has been charged? Is there at least some relief that perhaps there will be justice?
No. Nothing's changed. First of all, I just want to be very clear. I've been doing police misconduct, criminal justice, you know, stuff as an attorney and as an advocate for about 25 years. This particular medical examiner's report reminds me of the 1990s, where there was this thing called sudden in-custody death syndrome. Sudden in-custody death syndrome. Things just got so sudden that the person died. And it was this kind of almost began to feel like a collaboration or collusion between law enforcement and the medical examiners to come up with you know, stuff that kind of watered down the role of the police. If you're going to say that, you know, if hypertension is going to become an excuse for what happened here, African Americans, including myself, have hypertension at epidemic rates. So you're basically saying you're going to, you know, look the other way. That's the danger. That's the fear that people have when they hear that kind of medical examiner speak, that it's going to be used. The medical examiner, of course, you know, they're just doing their job, but it could be used and it could be abused. And then, you know, I'm in conversation communication with people on the ground there. Just talked to Attorney Crump. People feel badly about the idea that this is manslaughter and a third degree murder. It may be the smarter move. It may be easier to prove up, and that may be the right course. But the way that it has landed is a slap in the wrist on the wrist already. The assumption is you're going to plead down from that and that there's not a seriousness about this. Also, the other officers are accessories. If you or I did what is being described, if we had a gang of the four of us went and held somebody down and put a knee on the neck, and other people wouldn't help or told other people to go away, we'd be accessories to a crime. And so, no, this is not going to end until all the officers are charged and until there is a sense of some real determination. And that's why you're seeing the cry already going up from the Black community to let Keith Ellison, the attorney general, get in this. He is trusted. He's a longtime, you know, fair person, but he's got ties to the Black community. They want the state to step in. They do not trust this medical examiner. There also will be an independent medical examination by the family. They don't trust the medical examiner. They don't trust the DA. Nobody trusts anybody until we see all four of those officers in handcuffs with real charges.
I appreciate Van Jones. I appreciate his activism, his intelligence. He is always bringing it home on CNN. And I would be honored one day to have him on the Power Is Now show to talk about this very issue. You know, here's the reality. If Derek Chauvin was Black, he would have been probably arrested there on the spot, taken into custody, and brought down to the police station. And there's already proof of this. There's a Black police officer who shot a white woman in the line of duty. And he was arrested. He never saw his family, brought straight to police. He has never seen his family. He's been convicted and he's in jail right now. If Derek Chauvin would have been Black, he would have been arrested on the spot. And so would it be the other three officers that would have been arrested as well on the spot if they were all Black. And I mean, and there's countless examples of this, of misconduct by Black police officers and how they are even treated differently. And then thank God for the video. Can you imagine if we didn't have the video? Because then Derek would have said, oh my God, he pulled a gun, or he was resisting arrest. He was threatening my life, and so I had to take him out. You know, it took me 9 minutes, but I took him out. So he's no longer a threat to me, and this was all in the line of duty. Can you imagine the lies? They would have planted a knife on him. They would have planted a gun on him. I can't imagine the extent of which they have already gone through. This is not news, folks. This is not news. It is in the record. Police plant guns. They plant knives. They make up stories. They lie. Thank God for video. Now, he brings up something interesting here. Sudden in-custody death syndrome. Can you believe it? Sudden in-custody death syndrome. And this is why a lot of police officers have not been charged or gone to jail, because a person dies suddenly in police custody. A perfectly healthy person dies in police custody. How many times does a person need to die in police custody before you think, well, maybe there's something more to this, right? Maybe he didn't really die just of natural causes. Maybe you did kill him. You know, or they'll say, well, you know, because of the aggressive nature of the situation, his underlying health issues led to his death. High blood pressure, diabetes, who knows? I mean, we got all kinds of challenges as African Americans, but those could have been the reasons as well. And so here's the thing. I mean, we should be celebrating, right? We should be celebrating. Oh my God, we got it all on tape from start to finish, man. We even are witnesses to the life leaving his body. We're witnesses to this man keeping his knee on his neck for an additional 3 minutes, showing just callous indifference. Having his hand on his thigh, his right leg lifted up, leaning into it, and just having a good old Ku Klux Klan time, killing a black man. We're witnesses to it. And yet, it took, 5 days? The guy was taken home, fired, taken home. And here he is now. He's a citizen now. He's not even a member of the police department. We have hundreds of officers surrounding his house now. He's ordering pizza with his family. Finally, someone gets the courage to try to do something. Well, maybe we'll just stick him with a third-degree murder charge and manslaughter. That will shut everybody up, and we can get back to business of killing black people. No, that didn't work. Now there's calls for justice. I mean, calls for real justice. Giving him a third-degree murder charge and a manslaughter charge, and then allowing these other three men who were complicit and participants. I mean, one guy on the camera, you see him standing in front of the protesters there, the people watching this, as if he's kind of blocking to make sure that Derek Chauvin can kill him good. I mean, he might as well look back and say to Derek, hey, man, you done yet? Make sure you get him good now. I'm holding him off. I'm holding him off for you. I'm sickened by this. It's a slap in the face of justice. There is no justice, and there will be no peace. America will continue to burn. There will be the detractors out there, the actors, the bad actors. They are in every group, in every movement. There's always been the detractors and the bad actors and the looters and the fire starters. And you know what? They play a very important role in history. One could argue without them, we may not be even where we are today. Van is calling for Keith Ellison, the attorney general for the state of Minnesota, to step in, because nobody trusts the police department. In fact, they don't trust the police department. They don't trust the medical examiner. I mean, there's been cases. Did anybody watch ID? You know, all these criminal shows. I love watching. My wife is a big fan of these criminal shows, because they show the corruption with medical examiners, with the police departments, with bad cops. I mean, they show it all. So there's no trust. We don't trust the medical examiner. We don't trust the district attorney. I mean, the very fact they're still sitting on their butts trying to figure out how to pursue this. Go arrest these men now. If you want the violence to stop, if you want the protest to stop, arrest all these men now. Upgrade the charges to first degree murder. Derek Chauvin deserves the death penalty. How else are you going to send a message, the right message, to police departments across this country where police commissioners and police chiefs and mayors are allowing this type of environment to exist where they can raise up psychotic killers on our streets who are there supposedly to protect and serve? Now, This is my opinion. This does not reflect the opinion of anyone associated with me, any organization that I'm a member of, any employer, current, past, or future. This is me, Eric Frazier, president and CEO of the Power Is Now Media. We're about empowering people with information to become homeowners and to build wealth. We're concerned about the inequities in housing, the inequities in credit, the inability for Black people to build wealth. That's our focus. But I realize today that you can't be just linear in your activism. You have to see the bigger picture. Because if it wasn't for Martin Luther King, if it wasn't for Malcolm X, if it wasn't for great, incredible leaders who put their lives on the line. If it wasn't for the 1964 Civil Rights Act, if it wasn't for the Fair Housing Act, I wouldn't be in lending right now. I wouldn't be able to get a job with a bank. I wouldn't even know what a mortgage is or what it means to be a homeowner if it wasn't for federal legislation. And that's what we need. We need reform, federal reform, state reform in the criminal justice system. We need reforms in policing, and we need it now. I hope the crowds never go away. I hope more and more people join this movement. If you can't get out there and march, get online and do it. That's what I'm doing. The power is now to be the change. Let us all pray for the George Floyd family, his little girl, who said on TV, her daddy is changing the world. I can't imagine the pain that his wife is experiencing. I can't imagine what his little girl is gonna go through. I can't imagine, we have witnessed on TV the anguish of his brothers and his family. I pray to God this never happens to one of my children as they encounter the police. I have a grandson that's 2 years old, and I can't imagine what kind of world he's going to inherit if we don't see change now. Change must come right now. The protests happening in every state across this country is an indictment on America. We cannot just look the other way. Whether you're Black or brown or Asian or an immigrant, you cannot just look the other way. You cannot stay silent. Change must come to America, and it must come now. A memorial service will be held on Thursday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. In Minnesota. Reverend Al Sharpton is going to deliver the eulogy, and I'm gonna be tuned in. I can't imagine what this brother is going to say. Public viewing and private memorial service will be held at the Rayford, North Carolina, in Rayford, North Carolina on Saturday, according to Herbert Peter Kinn, the sheriff of Hope County. A public viewing will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Cape Fear Conference B headquarters, followed by a private service for the family at 3 p.m. No protesting will be allowed at that time. On next Monday, a public memorial will take place at noon to 6 p.m. at the Fountain of Praise Church, 13950 Hillcroft Avenue in Houston, Texas, the Fort Bend Memorial Planning Center. Floyd Mayweather, the boxing champion, Floyd Mayweather, is paying for the funeral. Floyd, being African American, being a champion, building massive wealth through his boxing empire, I appreciate him so much. There's a lot of people that hate Floyd Mayweather, not because he's a great boxer, but because he is a champion. And he's never been defeated. He's a champion, and he is an entrepreneur, and he's unashamedly unapologetic about his wealth and his success and being Black. And I think we couldn't find a better person to support this family in paying for this funeral. And I know because Floyd is paying for it, it's going to be first class all the way. Where is Oprah? Where are these big name stars who have massive audience? Where are they? Where is Black leadership? Who are our Black leaders? That's another video. That's another video for another time. Thank you for watching. The power is now. It really is. To be the change you want to see in the world, support those who are out there on the field, in the field, protesting. Ignore those who are complaining about damage, property damage, and violence. They have completely lost the point. And their very language tells you who they really are. Thank you for watching. Have a wonderful day. Remember, the power is now. Tomorrow's not promised to us. All we have is today. Do what you can do today to support the cause and the protesters. Have an awesome day. See you soon, right here on The Power Is Now. Fuck!